Welcome back to the Marion County Midday Magazine. This is Let's Talk Knoxville. Our guest today is Dr. Randy Flack, superintendent of the Knoxville Community School District. And Dr. Flack, the school board meeting last night, Jovan Workham gave a report on the standardized test scores from last year. A lot of good news in there, and there's some not so good news too. You called it disheartening news, but it came back. The middle school ended up being named as a school in need of assistance for their reading subscores. Can you explain a little bit about how these scores work and how that designation occurs?
Yeah, Aaron, I'll try to do it in an easy, succinct manner, but most people, I think, remember when the No Child Left Behind laws were passed several years ago. And of course, the goal was that by 2013 or 14, all students would be proficient. And the states and the federal government set some trajectories that you were supposed to have so many students proficient by a certain time. And last spring, when we received the results of our Iowa Test of Educational Development, which our high school students take, and our Iowa Test of Basic Skills, which is what our students in elementary and middle school take, we were very happy with our scores, because at the elementary level, even combining the schools the way we did, our scores for all students were very high, very good. In fact, maybe higher than they were the previous couple years for our elementary kids. At the middle school, our middle school students had made big improvements, including the students who require special services. Sometimes we say our special education students. At the high school level, we again showed improvement. The problem is the trajectories, in order to get to where all students are proficient, increased so much that our special needs students simply didn't perform at the same level as our non-special needs students. So we were identified as a school in need of assistance simply because we couldn't help those students get to the level that they were supposed to be. Notwithstanding the fact that they improved, we had 10% more students at the proficient level than we had the year before. A lot of students we even staffed out of special education services because of the work that our teachers did with our students to help them improve their skills. So, yeah, it's a little disheartening, and I think it's a little confusing maybe to some, because we have shown tremendous growth. It's just in a couple of those categories, low socioeconomic students and special needs students, that our growth just wasn't as much as it should be. There's growth there, and I think I need to make that very clear. Those students are learning, and we are helping them learn more. It's just not to the level that the federal government says it needs to be. It's very interesting that the United States Secretary of Education, Arne Duncan, said in the Iowa Summit here a few weeks ago, that law is flawed. It was designed so that it's impossible for schools to meet all those trajectories, especially with their special needs students. And that's why Secretary Duncan said there needs to be changes. Now, we need to work with what we have, and we know that we need to help our students learn more. That's why we have professional development. That's why we use instructional decision making, where we're taking a look at data every single day. Our teachers are using that data to plan lessons not only for those students who have special learning needs to help improve, but also to reach the needs of those students who are ready to excel and go beyond what our normal curriculum is. So a lot of hard work for our staff, and it's work that they embrace and they work very hard to achieve.
Move on to the auditorium project. Basically, last night, the board decided a couple of things. A, they decided for cost reasons to not add on, say, administrative offices or community room to the auditorium. And then the bigger decision was the idea that they will definitely forego a GO bond issue, a vote on that. But they also did not determine how much save sales tax dollars they would use, just that they wanted to use a certain amount of it, and they also wanted to get some fundraising going for this auditorium effort as well. Can you explain the impact that using these saved sales tax dollars would have on the district long term?
Well, Aaron, the saved dollars, or sales tax revenues, as a lot of people refer to them, those are dollars that are available to the district through the year 2029, at least. And those are dollars that we use in combination with our physical plant equipment levy to repair, to update, to fix and replace roofs, to buy buses and those kinds of things. So we have to look at all of our future needs for our facilities, as well as the costs, potential costs of an auditorium, to determine how much of that money we should be able to use. Through the sales tax, we anticipate that we'll receive well over $1 million a year. And when you figure the cost of a $5 million auditorium, and figure in the fact that for the next 3 years at least, we have $400,000 earmarked for technology for our laptop project, then you need to take a look at the roof repair projects, purchasing of school buses, parking lot, sidewalk repair, replacing carpets, all those kinds of things. You try and get a handle on how much of that money you can allocate for a large project like the auditorium would be. And the funds are sufficient. However, the board also believes that it's important to have some community buy-in, some community commitment to this project. So we would like to get donations, have a fundraising effort to help raise funds for an auditorium that is going to be used probably as much or more by the community as it is by the school. We think it's very important for the community to have buy-in. You know, we have an awful lot of people who seem supportive of this project. So hopefully when our auditorium committee gets back to work, which will start in September here, we can develop a fundraising campaign that will help us raise funds for the auditorium and then help the board determine how much of the sales tax dollars can be used for an auditorium. We're not looking at raising half the cost of the auditorium. I mean, that's probably a little bit out of reach, but we would like to have that community buy-in and commitment to raising funds for the auditorium as well, because I think it's a project that we really need. We really need it for the school, of course, but we also need it for the community.
All right. And then next Monday, the old junior high and high school will be knocked down. Is the community welcome to come out and stay a safe distance back and watch that occur? Or?
Yeah, the emphasis on a safe distance away. The first thing that the demolition company will do is take the cornerstone out and also then try to remove in one piece the Knoxville High School sign, which is on the upper level on the north side of the building. We'd like to save both of those, hopefully to incorporate that sign into something we can put at our current high school. I think the SOS, and I've talked to Penny Somar, I think SOS or the Alumni Association is going to be selling bricks from the old building. We definitely do not want people to come and pick up their own bricks. Whatever SOS thinks they'll need, we'll take those and we'll haul them to the old swimming pool site. It's just going to be too dangerous, much too dangerous for people to try to pick up their own materials from that building. And it also, if we have too big of a crowd too close, it kind of inhibits the work of the demolition crew. So, yeah, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that want to come and see that first brick removed and so forth. But, yeah, I guess just honor those that are working on the project, and we want everybody to be safe.
All right. Anything else you want to add?
Well, it's a great start to the school year. I don't know. We have more kindergarten students this fall than we anticipated last spring. We got about 140 kindergarten students, and we really anticipated about 130. I don't know exactly what enrollment figures will be. It's, you know, at this time of year, there's a lot of moving in and moving out. We have students who haven't registered yet. We have students maybe who have moved that we haven't heard about yet. But, you know, I'm pretty optimistic about the fact that I don't think that our enrollment decline is going to continue this year as it has in the previous years.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Fleck. That's Dr. Randy Fleck, our guest today on Let's Talk Knoxville. Stay tuned to the Marion County Midday Magazine. Let's Talk Pella is up next.